So I think we will start now. So my name is Philip Oxhorn. I'm the founding director of the Institute for the Study of International Development at McGill. And I have the privilege of co-chairing this panel with Caroline Pescu, who will alternate with me in introducing the speakers. You know, I think we had a very dynamic start to the conference yesterday, and I think it's very important to remember that however bad the challenges of the economic crisis are globally, they tend to be worse for the poor, and they tend to be worse in the rural areas, which is also where, as we found out yesterday, the core problems are in terms of food security, feeding people, growing enough food, etc. It's kind of ironic that the start of the economic crisis was the collapse of the financial system when you think about the panel we're going to start with now, which is access to finance and agricultural credit. I think the speakers will agree with me that this has always been a particularly difficult problem in rural Africa, among other areas, and it will be interesting to see how the current crisis has impacted that and the lessons we have to learn. Now, our first speaker is Mr. Ali Abu Saba. Mr. Abu Saba is the director of the Agricultural Department of the African Development Bank. He has over 25 years of experience in the fields of management, civil engineering, project management, infrastructural development, water resources management of large and small-scale civil engineering and agricultural products, and he's worked in over 35 countries in Africa, Asia, and the United States. He received his degrees in the United States and various universities. He has a very commendable CV. I won't bore you with reading all of the details, but instead I'll turn the floor over to Mr. Ali Abu Saba.
Good morning, everyone. Let me first thank McGill University for associating the African Development Bank with this very important event. We're very glad to be here to share our experience and ideas and also learn from all of you in the various areas where each one of you is working. My intervention today will basically be an opportunity for me to share with you some information about the bank, past, current, and future support in the agriculture sector, and from there attempt to put on the table, if I may say, what we see from an operational perspective as challenges for the rural finance and what we think can be done about them. More importantly, I will attempt to briefly go over what we have seen in terms of the impact of the economic and financial crisis in this area of intervention. I will also attempt to be brief so that I can allow some exchanges at a later point. The bank has been supporting agriculture for almost more than 40 years, and during this period, we have learned so many lessons in this particular area. In Africa, the sector is a very challenging. You have weak institutions. You have very, very difficult physical conditions within which you have to operate. You have, various needs of the 53 countries. They are not at the same level of experience. They're not at the same level of macroeconomic situation and economic development. So obviously the needs and the kind of support that the African Development Bank has to support has to match those country-specific requirements. The current agricultural portfolio currently stands at about $3.5 billion as we speak. We have about 220 operations, basically in all subsectors, irrigation development, fisheries. We have had a very interesting expose yesterday by our colleagues. We work in the crop development, transboundary disease, research, basically the whole spectrum. And this is one area that we have felt may not be the optimal use of the bank resources, and we're trying to, try and bring more focus as we move forward in the kind of support that we would give to our countries. Now, with regards to the rural finance, about one-third of the 220 operations would have some component of rural finance in one form or the other. They range between $1 to $3 million. each, and they are implemented using very different mechanisms depending on the country setting and the available capacity in each country. Now, the interesting information and the interesting fact is that most of these operations that have a rural finance component, the overall performance of the operation itself is not very optimal. The question is why? In many African countries, the issue of the very limited institutional capacity and poor state of infrastructure continue to be a key challenge that affect the performance of the agricultural sector in general, but in particular rural finance. The lack of institutional infrastructure such as service providers, training institutions, credit bureaus, and information technology is a limiting factor for the delivery of service which has to be provided in the remotest areas of the country. The absence of strong retail capacity in the financial institutions that are present in the countries, combined with lack of insurance schemes to address the risks associated with the nature of the sector, is another factor that discourages the financial institutions from expanding their operations in this very important area. Issues of land, lack of collateral, the land policy and the land ownership issues across the entire continent continue to be a major challenge, not just for rural finance, but to also promote investment, physical investment in agricultural development in general. In broader terms, the poor state of physical infrastructure in the rural area, the inadequate market information, the exploitive nature sometimes of the intermediaries that are, you know, normally involved in these things, but also the impact of climate change have had a very, very negative impact on the performance of the sector. Now, on the other hand, we also have some good performing operations and some success stories that we see, but they all depend on the country context and the project context within which the design itself has been put into place. These include operations, for example, where the range of issues highlighted earlier on were addressed, whether as part of the project design, which can be very expensive, or it so happened that there was conducive environment at the onset of the design of this operation, which made it possible for these operations to perform. Or in some exceptional cases, where the nature of the intervention itself fits very nicely with a certain linkage to the markets, in, such as, for instance, the sugar production operations, cotton at some point in time in certain parts of Africa, where the entire value chain operators get together and agree on a certain setting that would serve the interest of each and every one, and eventually you would have a performing operation. Still, we believe that we need to design operations that can perform optimally under existing conditions, because you cannot change the whole world in one day. And we've been able to probably identify three areas where we feel that there is some additional work needed. The first being innovation in lending and saving mobilization. The second is the need for inclusive approach to the financial intermediation, emphasizing the value chain financing, as I mentioned earlier. And three, work to create enabling environment and certainly conducive policy reform. Just to mention examples of what we mean by innovation, the warehouse receipts that you're all quite familiar with, experiences coming from Malawi suggest that, you know, this is one area which could be successfully replicated in other places. Contract farming, I mentioned the sugar example. Risk management tools to be able to address risks associated with the sector itself. And developing this sector is very important in Africa in particular, because it's very, very much underdeveloped, especially with climate change and the variability in agro-farming conditions, makes it even more important to develop these instruments that could help further development of agriculture. Market information systems, we have operations examples in Senegal where, for instance, systems were developed for the sharing of market information systems through simple devices like mobile phones that are developed specifically for this kind of information. It puts the farmer, it gives the farmer an edge with regards to the opportunities that are available out there, so that they won't simply settle for what comes at the farm gate. And of course, the development of and adapting appropriate technologies. Now, at the more macro level, there is a need to improve the enabling environment and policy reforms. I mentioned, for instance, the need to increase domestic saving mobilization to support investment, the need to strengthen corporate governance in the financial institutions, and the need to strengthen institutions that support the financial reforms. I mentioned, for example, the land and companies that register those lands and work on issues of collateral, credit reference bureaus, and of course the commercial courts, so that eventually, when in case of a non-payment, those who have taken steps to give the money can always find a way to recover. Now, in the interest of time, I have just received my first signal. I would like probably to say a few words on the impact of the financial crisis and financial and economic turmoil and how it has affected the rural finance. What we have seen on the ground is there is no evidence that there has been any direct loss to these small farmers. They are very, very disconnected from the entire financial system. But there has been some other indirect impacts that will eventually affect them in the medium to long term. The financial and economic crisis made it more difficult for institutions to find the necessary resources. It has raised the cost of borrowing and eventually the cost of on-lending, making it even more difficult for these beneficiaries to take advantage of this facility. It has also reduced the demand on certain commodities, so those that are affected and those that have been growing these type of commodities would eventually suffer some financial losses, and it may impact on the recurrence of the cycle and whether they would be interested to come back and put some of these things, and a whole change of other issues that are known to all of you. In conclusion, we believe that the renewed interest in scaling up investment in agriculture, evidenced by the work of the task force, the UN task force, which you all know, and the recent very strong announcements from the G20, makes us feel encouraged that the way forward is going to be more encouraging than what we have seen in the recent past. I think if we work collectively, we should be able to bring some positive difference to the lives of the African farmers. I wish to thank Canada in particular because of the very active role they have been playing in supporting of the African Development Bank, but also their keen interest on support and promotion of agricultural development. Thank you. Thank you.